Good evening. Our lesson is based on the 119th Psalm, Psalm 119. Verse 105 of the longest chapter that is to be found in the Bible, hundred and some verses. Verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Well, verse after verse that is to be found in Psalm 119 causes us to say that the Bible is the most precious book in all the world. I don't know whether it has struck you as, shall we say, being rather ironic, that while the Bible continues to be the world's bestseller, that's what the booksellers tell us, that every year it outstrips the sale of the most popular of the novels that have ever been written, of all of the adventure books, of all of the romances that have ever been written, yet the Bible continues to be the very best seller. How many do you have in your house? But this is what I think is ironic. Probably it is safe for us to say, but with sadness, the Bible is the most misunderstood book in all the world. How can that be? Its value to us, its contents, and what our response is going to be to these precious words that are found, that has to do with our eternal salvation. Well, it is very good for us to stop and reflect, to meditate, and to ask ourselves, well, what makes the Bible so precious? What is it about the Bible that makes it continue to be the book that people continually buy, will turn to day by day, and will read? And we have to say, as the verse that is before us, well, the Bible really is the only book in all the world that provides true light. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Where would we be? Where would you be? Where would I be if it were not for the teachings of the Bible? Well, I think I can safely answer by saying we would be in ignorance. There would be so many, many things that we do not know. Man alone cannot determine right from wrong. And the Bible, as it is our light and as it is our lamp, first of all, not only tells us that there is sin, but it tells us what sin is, what it consists of. In verse 11 of Psalm 119, we are able to read, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Then verse 104, the psalmist affirms, through your precepts, through your teachings, I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. For those who read the Bible, for those who believe the Bible, for those who are willing to take warning from the Bible, sin is not a matter of indifference with that individual. It is not a matter of anybody being able to say, well, I can take it or leave it, nor is it a matter of condoning sin. Verse 104 tells us exactly how we come to feel about sin whenever we allow the light of God's Word to shine into our hearts. We hate it. We abhor sin. Whenever we hear of others that have transgressed the Word of God, there's no joy on our part. It is not a matter of saying, oh, you know, those people are living such wonderful lives, but rather it is a matter of, we say, look what sin is doing. Look how terrible it is. Look how it has deceived and how it has completely wrecked the lives of men and women. And then when the devil attacks us, whenever we talk about your word I've hid in my heart so I might not sin against you, well, that means that we have that same hatred, that same abhorrence of sin that tries to attack us. So the Bible is so valuable in it. We are able, I believe, for the very first time to learn about the nature of God. Psalm, the 19th chapter, of course, tells us that there are two sources of knowledge of God. The one is the natural creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth His handiwork. So for every individual that will reason in a reasonable way, we say, well, the evidence of God is all around us. But you know, Romans, the first chapter, tells us that our knowledge of God by the things of creation is going to be a limited view. What do we know about God when we observe the things of nature? We can know that He's divine. Man cannot do that. So Romans, the first chapter, Paul says, people are inexcusable for their ignorance because even the things of creation tell us that God is divine and that He is all-powerful. But you know, the Bible tells us more about God. Well, oh, my, what do we learn of God? Well, we learn that He is merciful. We learn that He is kind. We learn that He is the creator of the universe. And not only that, as we go through, well, first of all, our Old Testament. And then later, as we go through the New Testament, we learn what God expects out of us. We learn of God's righteousness, of His holiness, of His purity, how that God never does anything wrong. On and on. Everything that you know about God. Here are your little children, and you sit down possibly of the evening with them, and the children in their pure innocence ask, Mama and Daddy, tell me about God. What is He like? And if you have this knowledge of the Bible, you're able to tell them. The same thing is true whenever you are speaking with the ignorant people in the world, possibly, that through some error or some way, they do not have a knowledge of God. And so you are able to teach and instruct them. I can well imagine the joy that our brethren in Africa have whenever they sit down with an individual who is worshiping idols, who is worshiping the ancestors, who really does not have a good concept of God at all. And yet, maybe for the very first time in their lives, because of the knowledge that is found in the Bible, they are able to learn about the one, about the only, about the true and the living God. But you know what we say about God? The Bible also reveals man to us. Let me ask you, where did you come from? You say, oh, I'm from Milwaukee. No, that's not what I mean. Well, what are you doing here on earth? What's going to happen to you when you die? Do you know, in reality, those are the three greatest questions that I think an individual can ever ask themselves. How did I get here on earth? Why am I here on earth? And what is going to happen to me when I leave earth? Well, you know, we could not solve those problems for ourselves. We read about the ancient philosophers. And do you know that all of those philosophers puzzled over these very same questions? And we find that without the information, I'm talking about every one of us now. Why read the Bible? Why study the Bible? Well, so that you can solve those questions that are in the minds of every individual. I am here on earth. The Bible, just in very, very simple terms, tells me I'm here on earth because God created mankind. God is the one that set those laws into motion when he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Man could never do that on his own if it were not for the ability, if it were not for the fact that in the beginning God made them male and female, and man was joined to his wife. They too became one flesh. That's how you got here. All right. Now, what am I here on earth for? Well, I'm not here on earth for just some selfish purpose. And the writer of the Ecclesiastes, just in very, very few words, sums it up for us. He said, let's hear the conclusion of everything. Fear God and keep his commandments. Some of the translation says, for this is the whole of man. This is the entire duty that you have. And it does not matter how rich you are. It does not matter what part of the world you come from. It does not matter anything about your talent, your ability, your fame, or the lack thereof. If you want to be successful, you've got to fear God and keep his commandments. And do you know, when they lay your old dead body into the grave, you still live on? I wouldn't know that. Can you imagine how sorrowful it would be if man ceased to exist at death? You know, I've lived in parts of the world where people believe that. You have never seen greater terror in all your life than the terror that possesses those people. At the death of their father, they have no hope. At the death of their mother, those individuals who do not have the light of God's word to guide and to teach them, they're without hope in death. Oh, how do we learn about the soul? About the spirit of man. How can we so confidently, on the occasion of death, gather together and sing songs of encouragement to one another and to talk about paradise and talk about heaven that awaits the faithful. Well, the Bible tells us so. The Bible is God's Word. And then the New Testament. How wonderful that Testament is. It teaches us about Jesus, the greatest person that has ever lived. I wouldn't know anything about Jesus otherwise. It was well over 2,000 years ago when he was here on earth. And your guess would just be as good as mine if someone were to say, well, tell me about the personality of Jesus. And I couldn't do that. Well, tell me what Jesus believed and what he taught. And tell me about his miracles. And I would have to say, well, I can't do any of that. But because I've got the Bible, I'm able to say, this is what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And oh, I rejoice when I read those words because I know every single teaching that Jesus ever did. It's right on the mark. He never said, well, I'm not sure about the answer. He never ever said, well, I guess it will be this way, because he knew man, he knew what was in man, and he was able to tell us everything. Your Bible is the most valuable possession that you have. What if your house was on fire? What would you rush in to save? Now, I'm not talking about your children or a loved one in the house. I'm talking about material things. If your house is on fire, it's burning down, what would you rush in to save? Would it be some jewelry? Would it be some precious pictures? Well, all of those things are valuable, and maybe you would say, yes, I would like to have them. Would you rush in to save your Bible? It is the most precious book. It is the most precious possession that you have. The poet said this, how precious is the book divine, by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp, its precepts shine to guide my soul to heaven. Holy book divine, precious treasure mine, lamp to my feet and the light to my path to guide me safely home. I've said all of that to say this. The Christian and the Bible. Now, I'm talking to you, aren't I? The Christian and the Bible. Delight in it. Delight in it. Here in this Psalm 119, verse 33 starts off like this. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the paths of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive in me your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Ah, dear Christian friends, how wonderful that book is that you have by your bedside, that you are able to pick up daily over and over again. Study it diligently. It is really the only book that is going to see you through all of the trials of life. Oh, there are so many wonderful technologies out there today. There are so many courses of study and so many different ways in which mankind is gaining skills. Unbelievable achievements are being made in the realm of technology today. But that can never, ever surpass the knowledge of God's Word. Let me make some suggestions, and that's what they are, for whatever it may be able to benefit you. Choose the best time of the day for you to study. It may be the first thing of the morning. Maybe you say, I know that I have to get up and I have to get ready for my day. It may be that you will say, I want to set my alarm for just 15 minutes early, and I'll be able to reach over and take my Bible. I'll be able to study it. There are others of us that the noontime is the very best time to study. Carry a little pocket Bible with you in your purse or in your shirt pocket or wherever it will fit. And while you open up your lunch sack and eat that bologna sandwich, well, then you also will be able to feast on the Word of God. Maybe it will be at nighttime. I recommend to families that have children that you have a Bible right there at the supper table. And after you have finished the meal, maybe you will want to sing a song or two with the children. Read the Bible. Bring your children up to where they have a knowledge of God's Word. Not only do you need to choose a good time to study and meditate on the Bible, you need to have a good place. So, it may be in the sunroom if you've got one of those. It may be a bedside table. I like to read the Bible at night, but I have to confess that sometimes I drift off in sleep, and maybe that is not really the best time for me to take all of this precious knowledge in. You choose a good time to study and a good place to study. Acquaint yourself with the entire Bible. Now, from time to time, from this pulpit, we've had little quizzes, you know, and all of that probably is to show us, well, we don't know as much about Zedekiah as we ought to. And if I were to say, turn to the book of Zedekiah, you might have a hard time finding it. What is the book of Ezekiel about? And you say, boy, I don't know, but it's a mystery to me. Study all of the Bible. Read all of it. However, I want to caution you. Put your emphasis on becoming acquainted with the New Testament. Christians live under the gospel age of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is wonderful to study about David and about Joseph and about Jonah. And there are so many very, very profitable lessons that are to be found as you read those 17 prophets in the Old Testament scriptures. But you know, we need to be acquainted with the law that we are under. Meditate on the teachings of Christ. Consider all that the apostles teach. And along that line, I think maybe this might be the most difficult thing to do. Read the passages in God's Word that condemns your sin. Read the passages that condemn what you're guilty of. Find out why you should not be saying certain things, why some habits are not pleasing to God. Oh, that light of God's Word, that lamp to your feet, it's going to do just what the Bible says. It's going to cut you coming and going. Hide God's Word in your heart. You young people, you really don't know how fortunate you are. Memorize God's Word in your youth. Because some days I can't hardly remember my own name. Hide God's Word in your heart. If you are of an age, of a certainty, where you no longer are capable to memorize word for word, do you know you can still hide God's Word in your heart? To remember. So that you will be able to say, as our Lord did in that combat with Satan, it is written, it is written, over and over again. When you get in a conversation at work, and there's all of these crazy ideas that are being thrown out, what do you think and what do you think? And for you to just be able to say, this is what God's Word says. Do you know that is the final answer? And the folks say, I don't like it. You say, well, I'm sorry, because that's what the Bible teaches. Well, that's the benefit to the Christian. Is the Bible a benefit to the non-Christian? Oh, absolutely, absolutely. One reason why I think all of us who are Christians ought to be interested in teaching our neighbors is because the Word of God is able to teach them. For every honest person there is out there, the Word of God is able to teach them. How do you go about reaching people? Well, you know, it's not all that complicated after all. Do you know that you can just say to your next door neighbor, let's read the Bible together. Oh, well, that's innocent enough, isn't it? And where would you like to read? Well, why don't we read from the book of Acts? Or why don't we read from the book of Hebrews? And there, page by page and teaching by teaching, your neighbor is hearing some things they will never, never, ever hear from the pulpits of the churches where they attend. Use the Bible correspondence course. I'm going to want to emphasize during our gospel meeting, as we have lesson one of the correspondence course on the table there, take lesson one with you Give it to a neighbor. Let them know that you will be willing, that you will be more than willing to study that lesson with them. Oh, what good we're able to do. But you know, there is something else that all people need to understand. Just because an individual is not a Christian, that does not mean they aren't accountable. If you are not a Christian, do you know that you are just as responsible for knowing the teachings of God's Word as those that have obeyed the gospel? It's not as if, though, anybody out there in the world could excuse themselves and say, well, I'm not a Christian, so I really don't need to know the Bible. Everybody needs to know the Bible. The only hope that you have is that which is found in the Bible. You allow the Word of God to change your life. You allow the Word of God to convert you. You allow the Word of God to place faith in your heart, and you allow the Word of God to motivate you, to push you to the place where you say, here is water. What would keep me from being baptized? The Word of God will save you. It's the most precious book in all the world.